Morning, Luke, the fifth chapter. We're going to read 11 verses here in Luke chapter 5, starting with verse number 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Launch out. I hear the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us as a people, as a church. Launch out. Launch out. Be willing to hear the voice of the Lord this morning, and allow the Lord to speak to us as a people, as a church. God wants us to launch out. Amen. Interesting that 7 out of the 12 disciples were fishermen. Now on this particular day, there's a great crowd of people. In the early part of Jesus' ministry, there's always crowds, big crowds. They thinned out a little bit later when the cost of discipleship became a little bit more than some of them wanted to pay. But at the beginning, the early years of his ministry, great crowds of people were always there. And Jesus spoke to the crowds, taught the crowds, but it's interesting in this text that he spoke to the crowds, but at the same time, he was focusing on one single individual. And that man was Simon, who became Peter. Peter wasn't a part of the crowd, but Jesus focused on Peter anyway. Peter is taking care of his day job. He's taking care of his responsibility. He was a fisherman like his father was a fisherman, like his father was a fisherman, and the whole family lineage was, they were all fishermen. That was their job. They made their living. And so Peter is not a part of the crowd, but he is washing his nets after a disappointing night of fishing. A disappointing night of fishing. And you know, there's nothing like the emptiness of trying to do something in your own strength, in your own power. And that's the circumstance that Peter is in. Spent his entire night trying to catch fish, and that was his livelihood. It was necessary to catch fish if he was going to be able to pay the bills and keep his family going. He had to catch fish. And now, you know, now washing the nets was a necessary task. If you didn't wash the nets out, then they would rot and they would be of no good by the next time that you went fishing. But I can tell you this, that washing the nets would have been much more of a pleasure and a joy if you had had a night that you caught a lot of fish. Even though it was a tough menial task, washing the nets, you would have the joy of knowing, yeah, this is a tough job, but my, didn't we have a good night? At least we had good success. But to have to wash the nets when you've come in from a long night of fishing having caught nothing. It really is a lesson for all of us to see the emptiness of trying to do anything in our own strength. You just can't do it. You can't do it. I was thinking about the song we have used to sing, "Without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail." That's the circumstance that you and I are in. It's the circumstance that Simon Peter was in. And Jesus focused upon him. He's teaching the crowd, but he's also focusing in upon this one man, Peter, Simon Peter. Because on this day, he's getting ready to transform his life, to change his life. You know, work is a drudgery if there is no fruit. Work becomes a drudgery if there's no fruit. That's true in any labor that you do, any task that you may undertake, but it's certainly true in the work of the kingdom of God. If you see no fruit, if you see no results, if you see no effect of your life and your ministry and what you're attempting to do, if you see no answered prayer, if you see no changed lives, if you see no fruit, then the labor becomes a drudgery. But Peter became the focus of Jesus' life. While Jesus can focus on the crowd, he can also focus on the individual. And that's what he did in this particular case, because he says to Peter, "I need to borrow your ship. Take me out just a little ways from the shore." And the Bible says that he taught the crowd from that vantage point, like a natural amphitheater, that he speaks to this massive crowd that is gathered there on the seashore. But I want you to know that not only was he speaking to that crowd, but he had singled out Simon Peter to speak to him. I don't know what Jesus taught that day, what kingdom principles that he was teaching to that group that day, but I do know that he had his eye, his focus upon this man, Simon Peter. Where you see, God doesn't just see us where we are, he sees us where we could be, potentially. I'm so glad that God sees the potential of our life and not just what we are right now. And he focuses his attention on where we are right now to help us get from this place, to transform us and to bring us to the place that he wants us to be eventually. Thank God for the ongoing and continuing work of the Spirit of God in our life. He changes us. He transforms us. Now, this is the Peter that would deny the Lord. This is the Peter that would walk on water for a little while until he saw the waves, and then he would sink into the deep. This is the same Peter who was a blunderer, who would speak out, who would make a big boastful claims and then fall short of all of those claims. Peter was a work in progress, just like you and me. A work in progress. But this is where it began. You know, you have to have a starting place with God. And a lot of people get discouraged. They think, well, I wish I could be like brother so-and-so, or I wish I could reach that and attain to that particular level of growth and to be something greater for God. But there has to be a starting point for all of us. That's why he said to Peter, thrust out just a little ways here. And then later on, he said, now launch out into the deep. There has to be a starting place. You have to be willing to say yes to the Lord when he says, just a little ways here first. Just thrust out just a little ways. And when you obey the Lord in the small things and in the little steps, then you are set up to go even further, to launch out to do greater things into the deeper things of the Lord. But I'm glad that the Lord, He focuses upon us as individuals, and He sees the potential of our lives. He sees not what we are, He sees what we could be and can be when we allow God to work in our lives. Amen. You want to launch out and do something for the Lord? Then just today, just obey Him in the small things. Just obey the Lord in the small, just thrust out a little bit and let the Lord teach you, let the Lord instruct you, and there'll come a time when He's going to say, okay, now launch out into the deep. Amen. That was the beginning work of the Lord in the life of Peter, and it was the process. I'm telling you, the work of God in your life and in my life is a process. We're growing daily in grace. We're growing as we go along in our walk with the Lord. And some of you have served the Lord a long time. I've been saved since I was just a teenage boy. But I have to tell you, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still hearing the voice of the Lord. And this is the Peter that one day was going to stand up on the day of Pentecost, and he was going to preach that first Pentecostal message, and 3,000 souls were going to be swept into the net, the gospel net. And he was giving to Peter an example. He's saying, this is what I'm doing in your life right now, and I will do greater things if you'll be willing to launch out, to launch out. Amen. Are you willing to move out from where you are right now? You know, I think that there's a blessing in being faithful and consistent and steady in your life. And I'm not saying that's not important. It is. But sometimes we have the routine of our life, and our routine just becomes a rut. This is what we are. This is what we always have been. This is the way we're always going to do it. And we can't see that there's any possibility that God may have another plan for us. That God might want to speak to you about doing things you've never done before. There may be a task, a ministry. There may be an outreach. There may be a net that He wants you to cast that you have never, ever cast before. Sometimes the greatest hindrances to the move of God in your life is just the mundane, the routine of the way you've always been and you've always done it. Amen. And you forget about the fact that God is a God of new and God of freshness and a God who can speak to you in some wonderful new and fresh ways, because God is a God who wants to surprise you with some amazing things that He can do. Now, Peter immediately gives his qualifications. Lord, we spent the night fishing and we failed. We're career fishermen. We're professionals. I'm a fisherman. My father was a fisherman. My grandfather was a fisherman. We've always done it. We've always known how to do it. We fished through the night because we know that at nighttime, the fish would come into the shallows of the water to feed. And so we run our ships along the narrow parts along the shore, and we catch all of those fish that are normally there as we pass through those shallows. They've come up to the shallows to feed. That's what we do. We're pros. We know what we're doing. You're a carpenter, but we're fishermen. We know what we're doing. Whenever the Lord said to him, launch out, I'm sure that was running through Peter's mind. Lord, we have tried the whole night. We know what we're doing. But then you see this little spark of faith in the heart of Simon Peter when he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. I really know better. And I'm pretty sure that we're not going to catch anything out there in the depths, because that's not where fishermen normally go. That's not where we usually catch our big catch of fish. That's not where we normally go, out to the depths of the water. But Lord, You have spoken. Nevertheless, at your word, Lord, we'll do it. Do you understand that God has a word and it's fresh, just like the manna that would fall out of heaven, that they were not to take up only enough to feed themselves for the day. If they collected more than they should, then it would corrupt by the next day. It'd be full of worms. It would stink by the next day if they tried to get enough for the next day. And so they were reminded, no, you need to go out every morning, and get fresh manna from heaven. Do you understand that for October the 6th, 2019, that there is fresh manna for you and for me? There is a word from the Lord for you. I know we've got a lot of challenges today. Reaching this world for Jesus Christ is an impossible task. Not only are there masses of people, not only is this secular world blinded to the gospel and hardened to the gospel, there's no way that we can reach them in our own power and our own ability. You say, oh, this is the way we've always done it. We've reached out in this particular way, and this is what we've done in the past. But no, we need a fresh word from the Lord. We need God to speak to us about this particular time, this generation, and the needs of this generation. How do you penetrate the hearts of people in 2019? I don't know how to do it, but I do know this, that God can give to us a word. And that's what Peter, he just responded and said, Lord, I know it's not going to work. I know that's not the way we normally fish. I know how to do it. My father taught me. My grandfather taught him. We're a family of fishermen, and we're out here. We know how to do it. We know what we're doing. And so God, I'll listen to you. Lord, I'll listen to you. I'll go ahead and do it, but I don't expect there to be any success in it. Amen. When is the last time that you've asked the Lord for something fresh and new from heaven? For God to speak to your heart. For God to reveal to you some new thing that He wants to do in your life. You know, otherwise, we are just in a routine and we're just washing our nets, and our work is a drudgery, and we're not experiencing the joy of fruitfulness, the joy of seeing God work in our life. But Jesus was breaking Peter out of his rut. He was breaking Peter out of his self-dependence, bringing him to the place that he would trust in the Lord. If we're going to reach this generation for Jesus, we are not going to be able to do it just on past experiences. Amen. We need to hear a word from God for now. We need to hear from God on a plan, the way and the means whereby we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world. We need fresh insight, fresh understanding. I don't understand the culture of the day today. I don't understand it. I don't speak their language. I don't communicate with this generation very well. There's a big barrier there. I can't seem to understand or comprehend a lot of what's going on in our world, in our generation today. I know that I cannot, but I understand this much. If I can hear a word from God, that God can give to us a way. He can give to us the tools. He can equip us with the power of His Spirit so that we have a word in season, so that we're able to be able to speak to this generation a word that will have an impact upon them. Amen. And that's what I'm asking the Lord to do. Are you willing to launch out? Are you willing to step out? Now, quit saying, but Lord, we've always done it this way. This has always been the way we've done it. Throw all those past ideas aside and say, okay, Lord, I'll just listen to you now. I'll listen to your word. I'll listen to your plan and how you want me to work and how you want me to reach out to this generation in whatever way that you provide for me. Lord, I am willing to do it. Amen. Amen. Self-sufficiency is going to fail every time. If we depend upon our own ability and our own strength, we're going to fail. But if we put our trust in the Lord and we call upon the Lord, I believe He can give to us fresh insight, fresh understanding. He can cause us to be able to face this generation and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to them in a way and communicate in the realm of the Spirit the word of the Lord that will penetrate the hard and the resistant hearts of this day. Amen. The key is learning obedience unto the Lord, to launch out, to learn how to obey, to learn the commands of the Lord, and to understand that if we'll do it His way and hear a word from the Lord, you know, God can get your attention. That's what He did to Peter that day. He said, launch out. I need to borrow your boat. And as He spoke to the crowd, I know that He also had a captive audience in Peter sitting in the boat there that day. And He wanted to get his attention off of his failures and off of his self-dependence. And He wanted to get his attention upon a word from the Lord, God speaking to him in his situation that he was in. And so the Bible says that He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. At thy word, I will let down the net. I don't know if you notice it or not there, but Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. But it says that Simon said, at your word, I will let down the net. Jesus said, put down the nets. And He said, I'll put down the net. It really shows the fact that Simon Peter is limiting God. He's not really expecting there to be any great thing happen that day. At your word, Lord, I'll let down the net, when Jesus had just said, let down the nets. And so he was limiting God. How often we do just that. We really don't expect God to move. We don't expect that He's going to pour His Spirit out. We don't expect that there are going to be souls brought into the kingdom of God. We need to come with an expectancy and a faith. We need to pray with a faith that God is going to reach a great harvest of souls. Amen. He didn't have any expectation that there was going to be a great catch because, well, that's not the way we've ever done it before. That's not the way that we fishermen do it. You don't go out into the deep to try to catch a great catch of fish. You go along the shoreline in the middle of the night. That's when it's done. But he learned the lesson of obedience. And he learned the lesson that God is sovereign. And that God is really in control of the circumstances. And I want you to know that God is sovereign. And he's working in the hearts of men. Even more than you want your family, your loved ones, and you want this generation to be saved. God is a God who cares about the lostness of mankind. He cares about the fact that this world is filled with people that are blinded and are lost in their sin. And He's working on that end. He's speaking to them. He's convicting them. He's dealing with their hearts. And He's preparing them to hear and to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when you see the Lord for who He really is, and you understand that He is the sovereign God, when you see Him for who He is, then you will begin to see yourself the way you are. That's what happened to Simon Peter. And whenever this great drought of fishes, it says that their net broke. They had to call for all the other partner fishermen to come. And they all come and they all start letting down their nets. And they are filled. And they all began to seek because of this great catch of fish. And when Peter saw it, he fell down before Jesus. He recognized Him for who He was. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh, Lord, he recognized. when you really see God for who He is, His sovereign, mighty power at work in this world, then it makes you aware of who you are and how much that you need the Lord in your life. Amen. You know, the Lord has a way of speaking to you. He focused in on Peter that day in his ship. And have you ever felt like, Lord, you have zeroed in on me to get a message across to me? Amen. Sometimes the Lord does that. Amen. Over the last few months, through some of the trials that I've had, there's been a few times when I've thought, Lord, what are you saying? What do you want me to hear through all of this? What is the message through all of this trial and this trouble that I'm going through? I know, Lord, I'm your child, and I know you can speak through all of these circumstances. And there's nothing, Lord, that isn't about you. And you're working, even in these difficult times, to speak to me. And I want you here this morning to recognize in your trial, in your struggles, that God has focused in on you. And He wants to speak to you this morning and to help you to see that He has a plan and He is at work in your life. And He's challenging us all here today to launch out and to believe Him for greater things than we've ever seen before. To launch out and to believe God has a plan that's greater than any plan that we've ever been able to contrive. God has a message that He wants to give to you, and He wants to place in your heart to help you to see who you are and to recognize how much that we need to depend upon the Lord in the circumstance that we are in here today. And God wants to empower you and empower the church and equip us for the challenges of these last days. Amen. I say this often, that there are seasons of time when it seems like those are times that are more opportune to reach out to the lost. And I believe we're in a season right now that if we'll just hear the voice of God and obey the voice of the Lord, we can see a great harvest of souls come into the kingdom of God. Regardless of your trial, regardless of your trouble, listen to the voice of the Lord and understand that God wants to change your life. You see, Simon is never the same after this encounter with Jesus. He's never the same. His life has changed. From that day on, he is never the same person from that day forward. The Bible says that Jesus spoke to them. They were all astonished at the great draught of fishes that they had taken. Every one of them, Peter, John, James, the sons of Zebedee, all of them, Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." The phrase there literally means you will take men alive. And he was speaking to him prophetically of what was going to happen in the ministry of Peter when he stood up on the day of Pentecost, and how that he was a leader in the New Testament church, and how that God used him. You're going to catch men alive. You're going to bring in a great harvest of souls. Peter couldn't have seen it that day. All he could see was his nights of failure. All he could see was his weakness in his own self-sufficiency. But Jesus saw the potential of his life, and he sees the potential in your life and in my life. He sees the potential right here in this group, this church. Right here, he sees the potential of what he wants to make us into if we'll just hear his voice and obey the voice of the Lord. "Fear not, for from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They were never the same ever again after that day. They forsook it all and followed Jesus. They understood the calling, the purpose of God, the ministry that they had to follow the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that day forward, Not only did they launch out for that great physical catch of fish, but this was the launching of their earthly ministry. And it was those men who literally turned the world upside down, ignorant and unlearned, but yet God put his hand upon them and they turned the world upside down. As they went from city to city and village to village, God empowered them to do great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Amen. So the call of God for you and for me is to be willing to launch out, to be willing to believe God, to hear his voice, and to believe God to help us to launch out to reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ. They're out there. They're within your reach. And that you may not know how to reach them, but if you'll hear God's voice, he'll equip you. He'll empower you. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give to you the ability to penetrate the hearts of this generation with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're willing to launch out. If you're willing to step out. If you're willing to do things maybe in ways you've never ever before, and be willing to hear the voice of God to accomplish the things that he's calling us to accomplish here in these days. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you willing? Are you willing to let the Lord use you in some new, fresh way? Are you willing to allow God to speak to you things that you need to hear concerning this generation? And reaching this generation for Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things about the way people think today. It doesn't make much sense to me. I don't understand it. But I just know that God can get the attention of those out there in this world. He can speak to them. And he's called you and me to be the vessel to reach them. Amen. Are you willing? If you're going to launch out, you have to be willing to thrust out just a little bit first. Are you willing to just make a step in the right direction? Just make a step in the right direction. If you'll thrust out, then you'll hear the voice of the Lord when he calls you and says, launch out into the deep. If you're willing to take a step for the Lord and be willing to obey his voice today, I believe that God wants to begin some new, fresh work of the Holy Spirit in your life and through your life today, if you'll be willing to hear his voice and just to make that small little step in the right direction. Could we stand here this morning? What is it that the Lord is speaking to you? Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to stop your routine? Stop the things that you're doing long enough to hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, I want to be able to minister to this generation in this culture of 2019. Lord, I don't want my ministry, my work to be a drudgery. I don't want it to be just a work where I'm wearing myself out, but I'm not accomplishing anything. Lord, I know if you empower me, if you anoint me, if you give me the words to say, then I'm going to be able, Lord, to really make a mark for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a generation that's so lost, so hopeless. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. They have no answers. They're looking for answers. They're going to have to hear a fresh word flowing out of the church, something fresh and new from heaven, spoken for this generation. Amen. God can speak through you, and he can anoint you, and he can anoint us all to accomplish his purpose. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Are you willing? Are you willing to thrust out just a little ways, just to make that initial step of obedience that Simon was asked to make? And once he did, then he's the captive audience in the boat. He's had to set aside his nets and set aside the drudgery of his work so that he can hear the voice of the master. And that's what we need to do here today. We need to take some time. Are you willing to just say yes to the Lord, to obey His voice, take one little step in the right direction, knowing that that's the beginning. That's the beginning of a work of obedience in your life to fulfill all that He wants to fulfill. I'm sure that Peter, washing out his nets that day, could have never imagined that one day, in just a few years, he was going to be standing up on the day of Pentecost and proclaiming a message to a generation that was resistant to the gospel. But somehow, the Bible says that they were all pricked in their hearts by the message of Peter that day, on the day of Pentecost. That generation that was hardened and resistant, the same group of people that not long before had crucified Jesus, are now being affected by this message of Peter on the day of Pentecost. Their hearts were pricked and they repented, and 3,000 souls were brought in that gospel net that day as Peter preached the gospel to them. Hallelujah. There's a message that will penetrate the hearts of this generation, and we'll hear it whenever we listen to the voice of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's launch out. I want to welcome everybody that is in your heart. You want to be used of God. You want God to touch you and to give you a fresh word from heaven for this generation so that you can be effective in this particular time in touching the hearts of people. I want to welcome you to step forward and come to the front of this building and this call upon the Lord around these altars here this morning. And this, ask the Lord, God, touch me, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. I will obey your voice. I will be used of you, Lord. I will thrust out. I will launch out. I will do, Lord, what you're calling me to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.